by singing the Mangalacharna prayers and a little kirtan. And then we will read a verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and a related verse from the Bhagavad Gita and discuss how we can make progress in Krishna consciousness. Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Vaishnavansa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sadhana Raghunatham Vikam Stam Sahivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Asatya Deshatarine
Namaste Saraswati Deve
Surya Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
Could you mute yourself? Because there's
yes.
a little delay between your
no
singing
problem.
And our singing.
Thank you,
Mataji. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda
Shri Krishna
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda
Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila
Prabhupada. Jaya Gurudeva, Jaya Gurudeva.Gurudeva, Srila Gurudeva.
Jaya Gurudeva, Jaya Gurudeva, Gurudeva, Srila Gurudeva.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajaka Kacharya Stotra Satyasri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai.ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajaka Acharya Stotra Satyasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai.Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Can you bring my herbal water and the stainless glass? So I will read a verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which contains the basic principle of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how we can always remember Krishna and never forget him, which is our duty and our success. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vismartavyo najatu chit sarve vidhi nashedasyor etayor eva kinkara. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vismartavyo najatu chit sarve vidhi nashedasyor etayor eva kinkara. Smartavya, to be remembered. Satatam, always. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. Vismartavya, to be forgotten. Na, not. Jatu chit, at any time. Sarve, all. Vidhi nishedha, rules and prohibitions mentioned in the revealed scripture or given by the spiritual master. Siu, should be. Etayo, of these two principles. Always to remember Krishna or Vishnu and never to forget him. Eva, certainly. Kinkara, the servants. Translation. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. I'll read it, the translation again. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana. There are many regulative principles in the Shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle. That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. Now, how is that possible? Srila Prabhupada explains. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra 24 hours daily. How much? 24 hours daily. Even in our sleep, we should be chanting. Or we should not sleep. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours daily. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. This calls to mind an incident with Srila Prabhupada in the early days in India, traveling with him before we got to Juhu land. And although it was rare then, for Americans or Europeans to come to India, an American did somehow find us, and he met up with us and joined with us. So, at one stage, he asked Srila Prabhupada a question, which was, if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And he gave the example that suppose he's up, you know, sort of late at night, and someone comes who could be willing to become a life member. So his question was, should he make him a life member at the cost of finishing his rounds, or should he finish his rounds and leave the person without making him a life member? Of course, implicit in the question was the idea that it could be one or the other, not both. But Srila Prabhupada emphasized the importance of 16 rounds, which he is doing in this purport. And you know, he basically said that if you could stay up and make the man a life member and finish your rounds, that would be best. But if you're very much fond of sleeping, then you should finish your rounds and then take rest. And then he said, if you eat and sleep all day long, but you chant your 16 rounds, I have no objection. And then he said to all the other disciples who were there, this is for him only. This is not for you. This is his special prerogative. But he was emphasizing the 16 rounds. You can eat and sleep all day long, but you must chant 16 rounds. So then the boy asked, well, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And Srila Prabhupada didn't usually assert himself in that way, but in this case he did. He sat up very erect and he said, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds. So this is, Srila Prabhupada is saying, but behind him, Krishna is saying. So, yes, we'll come back to the purport now. These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle. That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra 24 hours daily. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chants at least 16 rounds. The chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. So Srila Prabhupada is, stressing this point emphatically in several consecutive sentences, that we must chant our minimum 16 rounds daily. Srila Prabhupada used to quote a cartoon that he saw, in which an old lady and an old man are sitting opposite each other, and the old lady is telling her husband, chant, chant, chant. And the husband is replying, can't, can't, can't. So he could, with the same effort that it took for him to deny chanting, he could just as well chant. So we should chant, 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 chant. Now here, Srila Prabhupada, in the next paragraph, balances what he just said about chanting. What he says in the next paragraph sort of complements what he said in the first paragraph. One may sell books or enlist life members or render some other service. But these duties are not ordinary duties. These duties serve as an impetus for remembering Krishna. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the activities that he has given us support the basic principle of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. One may sell books or enlist life members or render some other service, but these duties are not ordinary duties. These duties serve as an impetus for remembering Krishna. When one goes with a Sankirtan party or sells books, he naturally remembers that he is going to sell Krishna's books. In this way, he is remembering Krishna. When one goes to enlist a life member, he talks about Krishna and thereby remembers him. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vismartavyo najatuchit. The conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna, and one must refrain from doing things that will make him forget Krishna. So this is the basic principle to guide our lives, that we should act in such a way that we'll always remember Krishna and refrain from activities that will lead us to forget Krishna. So it's a very simple criterion. And if we follow this, then we will be successful. The conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna, and one must refrain from doing things that will make him forget Krishna. These two principles form the basic background of Krishna consciousness. So I also thought to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita that begins with that same word, satatam. Many of you may know this verse, Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text 14. Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantascha dridavritaha namasyantascha maam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantascha tridavritaha namasyantascha maam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Satatam, always. Kirtayanta, chanting. Maam, about me. Yatanta, fully endeavoring. Cha, also. Drida vrataha, with determination. Namasyanta, offering obeisances, cha, and mam, me, bhaktya, in devotion. Nitya yukta, perpetually engaged, upasate, worship. So this same point about always, smartavya satatam Vishnur. So satatam means always, and nitya yukta also means always, perpetually engaged. Translation. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because the previous verse was Mahatmanastramam Partha, so this verse is elaborating on the qualities of a Mahatma. So here Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. Yes, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam mam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. That one who surrenders to him is a Mahatma. When I first joined the temple in Boston, we would go to the Boston Commons and do, Harinam Sankirtan and distribute mainly Bhaktivedanta Head magazines. But once I went maybe a block away, I think it was Commonwealth Avenue. It's like a busy street in the business district. And a man saw me dressed in my robes, and I don't know exactly what impelled him, but he started going like this, Mahatma, Mahatma, Mahatma. Anyway, I pray that he got some benefit from that inspired gesture. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smaranam, remembering him. So it's mentioned here, Vishnu, not any, or Krishna, not any demigod. In fact, it is one of the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names to consider the demigods to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Vishnu. And Sometimes I have a little concern when devotees perform kirtan in yoga studios. Some, not all, but some feel that they have to chant to demigods so that the owners of the yoga studio or even the people in the audience don't think that we're sectarian or too exclusive. But my concern is that if they think that the demigods are equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu, then they're committing an offense against the holy name. But there are other devotees, such as Madhava Das, the famous kirtan leader from Mauritius, who doesn't do that. He doesn't feel the need to. He feels that we have enough variety in our songs to Vishnu, means Krishna, Rama, that we don't need to do that. And that's, you know, preferable if you can do that successfully and not be considered, you know, too sectarian or too exclusivist. So, yes. Hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. It's a very high achievement that one can attain by this process. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. Reading this phrase, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, reminded me of something that Srila Prabhupada said, that we will not say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one purport. We will say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every purport. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, jidavrata, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadasi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. As recently we observed Pandava Nirjal Ekadasi. And so it required some determination, jidavrataha, but I think all the devotees who observed it felt it was worth the effort. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. Again, Srila Prabhupada is reminding us of our goal or our ultimate success. Admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. one does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari. In any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus actually become Mahatma, a great soul. So, my dear devotees, you are certainly all Mahatmas, or on the way to being Mahatmas very soon. And so it has been a pleasure to meet with you and discuss with you. And again, the most essential process is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, are there any questions or comments? If you have something to say, you can raise your hand and Anasuya Mataji will unmute you or tell you to unmute yourself. Parikshit Das. Yes.
You have... Okay, go ahead. He unmuted himself.
Good.
We can't hear you.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I knew it was something I did here. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept the blessings of Sri Prabhupada.
Jai.
Thank you for a nice lecture. So you mentioned something about Caitanya performing in some places where the attendees may find it sectarian if we don't mention demigods, or the Caitanya doesn't mention demigods' names when they perform. And so if a devotee, a Hare Krishna devotee, finds themselves in that situation, knowing that on the one hand, they really shouldn't be mentioning demigods' name because of the second offense or the 10 offenses that you pointed out. But then the congregation or those who are listening may not like the idea that demigods are mentioned. Then when the devotee feels cornered like that, what should they do?
Well, we have a lot of bhajans. Besides the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can sing, Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Jai Ram, or Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram. We face this question in a different way in the Juhu Temple, because not that we wanted to show that we're not sectarian, but we wanted to appeal to people who were attached to demigods. So around the temple perimeter inside, we have dioramas. So we had one of Ganesh as the scribe writing down the Vedic scriptures as dictated by Vyasadeva. So I guess they could, if they have to, just the way you phrased the question, they're in a situation where they more or less have to. So if they have to, then I would say that they should explain the position of the demigod in relation to Krishna. And, you know, then it wouldn't be an offense. You know, that, I mean, it would be actually helpful and educational to the audience to understand that, you know, there's one supreme God, just like the king. But the king also has very powerful, loyal servants in his cabinet, like he has his, you know, different ministers and secretaries. So, you know, we can say that, you know, Brahma is like the minister of creation, Shiva is the minister of destruction, Saraswati is the minister of education and culture and learning. And it would be good, because people in the yoga circles, they have heard these different names, but they probably don't know who they really are. And it would be a disservice if we let them think that they're all independent and equal gods. So we can inform them as to who they actually are. And then if we chant their names, or some mantra that includes their names, it wouldn't be so bad. It wouldn't be great, but it wouldn't be so bad. I mean, I had a very stirring experience. Of course, Lord Shiva's in, you know, Vaishnava Namita Shambhu, he's the greatest Vaishnava. But of course, people should understand that. But one night, it was late, I was doing Vrindavan Parikrama, and I was walking along the Yamuna River, and there was a lady, I mean, I didn't see her, but I could hear her. There was a lady with a microphone, and she was chanting Om Namo Shivaya, which, I mean, under those circumstances, I found it quite moving. But, I mean, there was no confusion in my mind as to who Shiva was and who Krishna was. So, yeah. And, you know, Ganesh, we can say Ganesh removes obstacles, so we pray to Ganesh to remove any obstacles in our service to Krishna. So, yeah, we can explain like that. But I guess if if we're too clear in our explanation, again, depending on the audience, they might think, again, we're being too focused on Krishna, but we are. We are. Thank you. Dr. Brittany Anderson, so nice to see you. Can you unmute yourself, or... Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for doing these courses.
Thank you. Thank you for joining.
I had a question that went along perfectly with what you had mentioned about rituals to Lord Shiva. At the Detroit Temple, we practice a Shivaya tree once a year. And I was there for it last year, and I poured the milk with the conch shell, but it felt really, it felt like uncomfortable. It was kind of like giving a special gift to someone who isn't your relative, a total stranger. How should devotees approach like Shiva tree and other events like that at our temple? Should we go? Should we participate? How should our mood and attitude be?
Well, generally, Vaishnavas don't observe Shivaratri. I'm not sure why they did it in Detroit. You know, the problem is that we know that Lord Shiva is a Vaishnava, Vaishnava Namita Shambhu. But ordinary people who come to the temple, if they see us worship Shiva, they'll think, oh, in ISKCON they worship Shiva. You know, Shiva's the same as Krishna. And they may get some misconceptions. So, I would avoid observing Shivaratri in an ISKCON temple because it sets an odd precedent. It's a very different example. We were in Madras with Srila Prabhupada, and I went to Madras and I, you know, cultivated many big people, and eventually I arranged a program, a series of programs for Srila Prabhupada. And a very important man had a deity installation in his home. And for a home temple, it was quite big. You know, it was big enough for, 8, 10, 12 people to stand inside. And his main deity was Lord Shiva. And, there were a lot of dignitaries invited. So Srila Prabhupada and the other dignitaries were in the temple room. And we disciples were outside. And so when it came time to offer flowers to the Shiva Linga, Srila Prabhupada threw his flowers in the corner. And so we were a little astonished. What did Srila Prabhupada actually do? And then when all the others came out, we went in and we saw that in the corner there was a little deity of Krishna. So he had offered his flowers to Krishna. So yeah, we want to serve Krishna. And Lord Shiva's happy if we serve Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I have a follow-up question to the first one.
Sure.
So there's been functions in here, we're in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and there was one devotee that made some comments about a song that many Hindus sing, this Om Jai Jagadish Hare. And the comment was a comment that he wasn't so supportive of devotees, you know, even being okay with that song. And I don't know, now I'm a little confused about it. Is it, what should devotees think about it, basically, is what I'm asking.
Oh, but we don't sing that song.
I know you don't, but this, I'm thinking about how should devotees, or should we just avoid it altogether, or should we not even think about it at all? Say, if you meet somebody who is Hindu and they are encouraging you to sing Om Jai Jagadish Hare when you are a devotee, what should you do then, basically?
I think just tell them you don't know the words.
I don't. It would be true for me to say that, but I don't know.
Well, my impression is that it's a little impersonal and a little materialistic, because a lot of those prayers, they want something material from the deity. So, we don't have anything to do with that song, actually.
Thank you, I get it.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Nitya Gopal Prabhu, I think you have a question for us.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, in the definition of Mahatma, the reference comes for the five transcendental rasas. Mahatmas are engaged in the strong determination in any of the five transcendental rasas. So as a sadhaka, does one has to worry about what rasas one's devotion is happening? Do you have to worry about that?
No. No, that will come later. What the purport says is that the Mahatma is eager to gain the association of the Lord in one of those rasas, but that will be revealed when the time comes. But we should have in mind that that's our real home, back to Godhead, not the material world. That we should have.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I have a question regarding devotees performing kirtan programs in yoga studios. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada introduced three Sankirtan Harinam programs where we share and spread the holy name of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Because of that, performing kirtan programs in yoga studios, it's done in a business play, lack of a better word, because the yoga money from the programs. Would it be better to do street sankirtan as opposed to having it in the yoga studios?
I would say both are good. I went to an amazing kirtan in a yoga studio in Santa Barbara. The famous kirtan singer Gauravani, he came and he did a kirtan in a yoga studio, and it was amazing. He had like 90% of the attendees, and it was pretty packed. It was a pretty large room, and it was quite packed, and he had like 90% of them dancing. So, yeah. I think a lot has to do with the potency and attractiveness of the singer. But yeah, street sankirtan is wonderful, but I would say we shouldn't miss any opportunity. You know, Srila Prabhupada, he gave the example of, I think it was some Swami in India, not a devotee, some Swami. But he would never miss an opportunity to speak. Prabhupada gave the example that even if a pawn shop was opening, and he was invited to the opening of the pawn shop, he would go and speak. And Srila Prabhupada said that way he became very famous and popular. So from that example, I deduce that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to take every opportunity. Of course, sometimes we have to choose between a greater opportunity and a lesser opportunity, but they're spirit souls, and they have some interest. You know, if they're interested in yoga, it means they have some openness or inclination towards Indian philosophy and practices. So I think potentially they are a good audience. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay.
If anyone has any questions, we request you to unmute yourself, ask your question, and mute back. That way, it doesn't create any background interference.
So, yeah, but there is one question that came to the private chat. I will speak to Maharaj. Hare Krishna and Guru Maharaj. I have one question.
Wait, is the person who answered the question online? Because I like to see the face of the person who asked the...
Suchita Mataji.
Where is she?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Please accept my humble obeisances, O Gauri Krishna Prabhupada. How are you, Guru Maharaj?
I'm very fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, Guru. Yesterday I could not speak. My voice wasn't good.
Oh.
Yes. My question is that, Guru Maharaj, among the 10 offenses, one main is to blaspheme the devotees who have propagated the holy name of the Lord. So, what about other living entities which we try to offend them? Is it an offense?
It is. It is. In fact, one of the regulative principles in the nectar of devotion is not to cause a painful action in the heart of any living entity.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, we should receive.
Yes, thank you, Guru Maharaj. My second question is that if we offend a Vaishnav and yet we ask for forgiveness, they doesn't forgive us. So what should we do in that case?
Do you have any idea why not?
Don't know, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah. Well, the rule is, I've been in a situation like that, not recently, but some years ago, and I really, really went out of my way and begged the person to forgive me. But if the person is not ready to forgive you, you could ask the person what you can do to make up for your offense so that eventually the person might forgive you and follow the sort of remedial measures given by the person you offended. Yeah, it's not good for you or them for them not to forgive you.
Yes, but I feel guilty, Guru Maharaj, because I ask for forgiveness, yet they don't forgive us.
Yeah, but did you try asking what you can do so that they would forgive you?
In fact, no, Guru Maharaj.
Well, try that.
Yes, Guru Maharaj. I want to ask forgiveness because when you offend devotees, our spiritual life is affected.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we cannot concentrate on our chanting.
Yeah, it can disturb your chanting.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
And you can just try to serve the devotee and please the devotee somehow. Or if it's hard to, like, serve the devotee, then serve those who are near and dear to the devotee. And that might soften the devotee's heart and make the devotee more favorable to you.
Yes, Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Thank you.
I think there is another question, Maharaj, that was sent to Dear Krishna Prabhu, a private message. Did you get it, Prabhu?
No, that was the same question from Sucitta Bhattacharya.
Oh, the same question?
No, no. I think Saki said... No, wait. I think.
Go ahead, Prabhu.
Yeah. So, Maharaj, there is one more question. This is from Mathura Nileshwari Mataji. How about the practice of celebrating Holi in ISKCON temples? Is it advisable? Thank you.
Well, Holi is not something that we celebrated during Srila Prabhupada's time. Of course, in India, in Vrindavan, they make a point of throwing colors on you. And so either you have to hide inside or wear some old clothes that you don't mind getting ruined by the colors. But Srila Prabhupada's disciple Charu Prabhu in Utah has made a huge festival out of Holi called the Festival of Colors. It's a huge preaching event. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. And so I very much appreciate what he does. I mean, thousands of people come. And yeah, the colors are there. That's part of it. But there, you know, there's kirtan, there's prasad. And he started now, of course, with the COVID-19, everything sort of shut down. But he was doing it in other places. It was so popular in Utah, he had a schedule of doing it in other places. He was going to do it in the LA area also. So, if you can do it in that way to attract people and, give them a chance to hear the holy name and chant Hare Krishna and get prasad and have a good time. It's good. I feel it was an innovative way to attract people and engage them.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think it was actually a question from somebody who is watching this program on Facebook.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Thank you.
Dikisha Prabhu, there is another question sent to you, I think.
Okay, yes.
I apologize.
I think it is again from Mathura Nileshwari Mataji from Facebook Live. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how about in cases when the devotees we offend pass away? What do we do in that instance?
Oh, that's a very good question. Well, we can pray to them to forgive us. We can try to counteract the offense. For example, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the same tongue that you use to vilify a devotee, you should use the same tongue to glorify the devotee. So if that was the offense, we should do that. We should glorify that devotee who has departed. And I think the same principle, try to serve those who are near and dear to that devotee and please them, and then their master will be pleased. Of course, if we can, it's better to close that chapter while the person is still present. But it can happen. Certainly it can happen that the person we offended passed away before we could be forgiven in person.
Thank you,
That was a good question.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Actually, you have a question to ask Maharaj? You can go ahead and unmute yourself and mute back.
This is Aditya, sorry.
Go ahead, Vida. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful lecture. I missed your original point to the answer of if one would ask if all service is absolute, why chant 16 rounds rather than doing other service? I missed your answer to that question.
Oh yeah, Srila Prabhupada said, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds.
Okay. Wonderful answer. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Maharaj, I have another question. When you were reading Bhagavad Gita 9:14, where Krishna was saying that such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas, as a practicing devotee, Maharaj, should our mindset or our focus or mood or attitude should be just in the mood of das, das? Should we be always thinking of, oh, you know, how can I get into this five rasas, you know, what is my position in the five rasas, how that, or just surrender being a das, das, anudas?
Yeah, I mean, I think that mood of Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Dasanu Das, that's very good mood. It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. And if we want to, I mean, serve Krishna in the spiritual world, we will end up in one of the five rasas. But that's not something that we need to artificially contemplate now while we're chanting or worshipping the deity or whatever service we're doing, preaching.
Thank you, Maharaj. Mike, there is a question from Patna Das. His question is, Guru Maharaj, if time permits, yes, Prabhu, please, you have every right to ask this question. Can you share your realization when you got Lord Shiva's special mercy?
Well, what makes you think I got Lord Shiva's special mercy? Is he?
Oh. Yes, I am the Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. It's long back, actually, I had heard your lecture. It was very special and very different. It was some realization from Vrindavan. I think Gopeshwar Mahadev, or you could see the moon.
Yeah.
And I tried to get that lecture, but I could not get. But it was a very special lecture. So I wanted just to recollect or relive that.
Yeah.
From your
So there's a devotee of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan called Gopeshwar Mahadev. The background to the deity is that Lord Shiva came to Vrindavan and he wanted to join the rasa dance. And he prayed to Purnamasi, Yogamaya, and she told him to take a bath, I think in Manasi Ganga. And when he came out, he had the form of a gopi. But when he went to the arena of the rasa dance, the other gopis didn't recognize that person. And they were asking all sorts of questions, you know, where do you live? Who is your husband? What does he do? And Lord Shiva didn't have any answers. So they thought that this so-called gopi is an imposter. And they started to beat him or her. So then Lord Shiva started to take the name of Purnamasi, and Purnamasi came and said, please don't beat him. You know, this is Lord Shiva. And so she gave Lord Shiva the... well, as it is, he's Kshetrapal, like a protector of the Dham. She gave him the boon that, of course, he couldn't participate in the Rasa dance because that's exclusively reserved for Krishna's gopis. But that he could like protect the area of the Rasa dance, keep unwanted intruders out, and he could give people the eligibility to enter the Rasa dance. So there's a deity of Lord Shiva, Gopeshwar Mahadev, in Vrindavan near Vamsivat, where Krishna played his flute to call the gopis for the Rasa dance. And during the day, it is a Shiva Linga. During the day, is worshipped as a regular Shiva Linga. But in the evening, they dress the Shiva Linga in a sari as a gopi. So, you know, there's supposed to be five most merciful personalities in Vraja. And Gopeshwar Mahadev is one of them. And so I would go to the temple in the evening. And I did feel that he was sort of a Shiksha Guru. And then when I came out of the temple, it was night, and I was either, you know, maybe walking back to the Krishna Balaram temple. And I did see, like, it was like a crescent moon, like the kind you see in Lord Shiva's hair. And I don't know, I just felt that he was like a Shiksha Guru for me. And, yeah, he's very merciful. He's in charge of false ego. And our god brother, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, he went all the way to Kailash, to Lord Shiva's abode, to pray to Lord Shiva to free him from false ego. So, yeah. We have a little Gopeshwar Mahadev here in our ashram in Carpinteria. A gift from His Holiness Indradumna Swami.
Maharaj, I have another question. When you were speaking on the CC, and you were talking about in the purport that we should be remembering the Lord and chanting 24 hours. There has been some situations sometimes where, when we ask a devotee to do service, and sometimes they have this answer, "Oh, Mataji, I'm chanting my rounds." And as a leader, Mark, how do we deal with such situations? What do we do? Because we do come across devotees with, "Oh, my Mataji, I'm chanting my rounds. Oh, Mataji, I cannot do, I'm chanting my rounds." So, you know, and when there's something important that has to get done for service, how do we approach such scenarios, Maharaj?
Well, the chanting is a prayer for service. Oh, Lord, oh, energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So you can say, well, you were chanting so well that Radha and Krishna are answering your prayer. They're giving you service. There was a morning walk in Juhu, and His Holiness Lokanath Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, why have you prescribed 16 rounds? And Srila Prabhupada said, not 16 rounds, minimum 16 rounds. And he said, well, some devotees are accepting another minimum. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, well, who's stopping them? You know, you can increase the minimum. You can't decrease it, but you can increase the minimum. And then Lokanath Swami asked, well, how do we know if we're imitating Haridas Thakur? And Srila Prabhupada said, well, you know, imitation of a good thing is not bad. You know, if you're chanting more rounds, that's good. So then Brahmananda Prabhu said, well, what if someone asks you to do service and you're chanting your rounds? And Srila Prabhupada said, I can't do any service. I'm busy imitating Haridas Thakur. And Prabhupada said, that is very bad. Yeah.
Yes, Maharaj, I heard such comments and it bewilders me. And as a, you know, trying to be a leader, I just get fumbled. Like, okay, now I feel like I just got shot. Now how do I answer this question? Like, okay, because they're using a holy name as I, you know, to justify what they're doing. And thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I mean, Sovas Prabhu, the temple president in Los Angeles, he gets up at 2 o'clock every morning and he chants his rounds before Mangal Arati. Because being the temple president of a big project, he can't be assured that he won't be disturbed later. So, you know, if a devotee, if it happens like more than once that devotee refuses to do service because he's chanting, I would suggest the devotee just gets up earlier and does the chanting before Anasuya Devi Dasi asks him to do some service. So he doesn't have to refuse on the grounds that he has to chant his rounds.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Maharaj, that's a question from Surat Radha Charandas.
Yeah, that he means Radha Charandas from the city of Surat in India.
Okay. I apologize for who I picked up the first.
But that's the way he wrote it out, so it looked like that. Yeah.
Yes, Maharaj. He says, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. You just told that there are 5 most merciful personalities in Vrindavan. Which other 4 are? Please tell.
Yeah. The Yamuna River, Govardhan Hill, Purnamasi, and Tulsi. Yeah. Yeah, we should take advantage of their mercy. I thought someone would ask that. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ranacharya.
Thank you so much for asking that amazing question.